We are back again with another episode of Yours, Mine and Femme, a segment where we put a spotlight on issues affecting women of all ages, cultures, sexualities and abilities. And this week, we're exploring the use of disclaimer labels that are often found on altered or photoshopped images across advertisements and media. If you don't know what they are, disclaimer labels, they're tags used to alert the viewer that a model in an image has been edited, including, for example, this image has been digitally altered. That's usually captioned at the bottom of a photo. But are these actually helpful in preserving women's self-body image, or is it performative? And to help us figure it out, I am now joined by researcher of body image, social media, and all things appearances, appearance-related, Jasmine Farduli from the University of New South Wales. Jasmine, have I got you?
Yes, thanks for having me.
Thank you so much for being here today. So this year, Norway, I just thought we would jump straight back in. So Norway joined Israel and France in legislating that when advertising images have been altered and photoshopped to improve a person's shape or size, they must add one of these disclaimer labels. But here in Australia, these labels are only a recommendation and as part of a voluntary code of conduct for fashion media and advertising industries. So do you know if this legislation has been beneficial at all in those countries? And if so, why has it not been legislated in Australia?
So I'm not quite aware of like how many cases have been brought forward in regard to not using the labels, so how effective they are from that in that regard.
No worries.
But we've done research here in Australia, and other researchers have done research now as well, looking at the effects of disclaimers on people's body image. And quite consistently, the research finds that disclaimers are completely ineffective.
Wow.
It doesn't matter if you put a disclaimer on an image to say that it's been digitally edited. The image that if, you know, it contains people who match the beauty ideals, if it's quite, you know, idealized and potentially sexualized, the image is still likely to have a negative impact on how people view their own body, and it can put them in a negative mood. And we think that that is because people still compare their own appearance to the person's appearance in the image and judge themselves to be less attractive. And the ideals, the beauty ideals that are promoted through that image are still kind of seen as what to be people should be aspiring towards. So it doesn't seem to matter if we know it's edited or not.
Right, of course. And so what's the psychology behind that pattern that you had just mentioned of I had read also in the, as you had just mentioned, but also in the conversation, a piece by Marika Tigman, that these labels don't work, obviously, as you had just said. And sometimes it actually invokes women to pay more, even more attention to the altered images and comparing themselves more to that. What's the psychology behind that?
Well, I think when it comes to the potential negative impact, I think that in the study that Marika has done, she looked at more general disclaimers versus specific disclaimers. So if they're disclaimers are general, they just say the image has been edited. But if they're specific, they may say the woman's legs have been made to look longer and thinner. And with specific disclaimers, it seems that it draws people's attention to that aspect of the person's body and actually makes them feel worse, potentially because they're making those comparisons between the model and themselves. We really think that these kind of appearance comparisons are a real driver for why these edited and ideal images can make people feel bad about their body.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that, I think at best they don't seem to be effective, but at worst they actually may be harmful if they're quite specific. And it is really kind of promoting unattainable beauty ideals. And I think that the more people think it's unattainable, the less happy they feel about their appearance as well. So I think the rationale initially by legislators for these labels were that if people knew it wasn't real, then they won't make comparisons because it's not a realistic target. But that doesn't seem to be how people work when it comes to body image.
Of course. And you can relate that back also to Instagram filters and filters on every sort of social media platform. People, you know, are often using those and they know that they're not real. But when they're seeing those images on people's stories and, you know, even though it does say that whatever specific filter has been used, a lot of the time girls are still, people in general are still comparing themselves to that body image or that refined face that has been put over the top of the normal image.
Yeah, so we've done some studies looking at social media as well, and we find the same effects. So even if there's like self-disclaimer, so if people in their comments say, you know, I've edited this image, or, you know, I took 100 images and selected the most attractive one, it doesn't matter. It's the same effect on social media as it is in more traditional forms of media, as far as we know.
Right, of course. So if the general consensus is that these disclaimer labels don't work, what would you say is the solution?
Well, I think that's the next step. I think that having legislation could actually be really useful, because while we can encourage people on an individual level to, you know, engage in behaviours to improve their body image, if we still have very unattainable and very specific beauty ideals being promoted through advertisements, whether that's on social or traditional media, then it's still going to be a problem. Body dissatisfaction is still going to be really prevalent. So I really think there is opportunities to write legislation for advertisements in Australia, but I think we need to do the research before we do the legislation. So when it came to disclaimers, there wasn't really research that had been done at the time when the legislation was introduced. So we didn't know if they were effective or not. It seemed logical, but we hadn't done the research.
Right.
And so now I think we need to do the research before we do the legislation. But I think potential ways that we could make improve body image, based on some experimental research that's been done so far, is to have more diverse bodies in advertisements. There doesn't seem to be an easy way to stop an edited and ideal image of someone who matches, you know, thin beauty ideals to be less effective. They seem to be harmful if they're edited and contain people who match the beauty ideals. So if we have images of more diverse bodies, bodies of different shapes and sizes, then it really broadens the beauty ideals, and we know that can be better for body image.
Definitely.
I think also...
Oh, no, I was just going to agree with you. I completely agree, because I think that obviously the beauty standard and the trends of today of what is, you know, desirable, they change every 10 years, 5 to 10 years. Yeah. So having a broader spectrum of representation of different body images is just going to, you know, as you said, broaden the horizons for what is acceptable, quotation marks, for what women are supposed to look like.
Yeah, and I think as much diversity as possible would be ideal, really. Body shapes and sizes, skin colours, height, facial features. You know, the more diversity we can have in advertisements, the better. And there are a lot of companies that are moving to this on their own. But if we did have some legislation, then we'll probably get there quicker. You know, it would happen on a broader scale.
Yeah, of course.
I also think other options are to have unedited images.
Mm.
So, you know, disclaimers aren't helpful, but if there was legislation around not using Photoshop or other programs to actually change the person's appearance, then that's likely to be helpful as well. And another issue with all these images that is also how sexualized they are, because we know that viewing sexualized and edited images can also, you know, make the viewers more objectified, so they view themselves as an object and are very conscious of how they're being perceived by others from a visual perspective, and that can be harmful as well. So I think there are many different things we can do, but we would need to do more research first and looking at how effective they are, and also looking at, you know, what people's opinions of these changes are. Are people happy for these changes to be implemented? What are the obstacles? How feasible is it?
Definitely. Well, thank you so much, Jasmine. You gave me a lot to think about, and also you're making very, it seems very logical, the steps to a solution for this sort of, for this issue. So thank you so much for joining me today on the show. I appreciate everything that you've divulged today, and I hope you have a great day.
No problem.
Thank you.
Thanks for chatting to me. Bye.
Thank you. Bye.